My name's Eric Kim. I'm from UC Berkeley, and this is work done with myself, Nicholas Carlini, Andrew Chang, George Yu, Kai Wong, and Professor David Wagner. Okie doke. So today I'll be talking about the OpenCount system. So OpenCount, it's a software that tabulates elections. So what it does is it generates sort of a ballot level CVRs. Or by CVRs, I mean cast vote records. So the objective is to go from a ballot image on the left, a voted ballot, to an electronic representation of all the cast votes. Okay. So let's see. So why would you want to use OpenCount? So let's say you're an election official and you want to perform a post-election audit. In particular, let's say you want to perform a statistical ballot level audit. And the reasons why you might want to do such a like a risk-limiting audit is the amount of work you have to do is typically much less. For instance, you typically only have to examine, like, say, tens to hundreds or maybe even 1,000 ballots for a risk-limiting audit. Depending on the margin, the idea is the larger the margin of victory, the fewer number of ballots you have to audit. And this is a lot more efficient than the alternative. For instance, in California, the audit procedure is each county has to hand count all ballots from 1% of the precincts. And that can be a lot of work considering the risk limiting audit only has to audit much fewer ballots. Okay. So we know that we want to do a ballot level audit. So, but in order to do a ballot level audit, you need your voting system to actually output an interpretation of each ballot. In other words, you need your system to output something called a cast vote record for each ballot. And again, this is just an electronic record of all the cast votes. And here's yet another illustration of the cast vote record. So during the audit, you would pull up your physical voted ballot and then retrieve the electronic representation and check to see if they match. So unfortunately, the problem is current deployed voting systems actually don't output these ballot level audits. They only output the election totals. We can say maybe we can try to fix these systems. Maybe we can upgrade the systems or retrofit them so that we can do these ballot level audits. And unfortunately, it's not so easy. So it's not so simple to just upgrade these systems for a variety of reasons. Vendors are focused on deploying their next generation systems, or in addition, in order to make changes to an existing system, you have to go through EAC certification process, and that's expensive, and basically it's not easy. And for all practical reasons, we are stuck with the current systems. So we know what we want to do with these ballot level audits, but the current voting systems aren't going to help us. So then the approach that we took was, well, if we can't fix the current systems, why don't we build our own system? Why don't we build a new system to support ballot level audits specifically in mind? And that's what our group did. So again, OpenCount, this is where OpenCount comes in. So it tabulates elections. So as input, you give it your scanned ballot images, and it outputs cast vote records for every ballot. And it's built specifically to support ballot level audits in mind. And it's open source, so it's free. There's a link to the project page if you're interested at another time. Okay. Let's take a step back and think about how we might design such a system. And as just a little preview, this is actually what an old version of the software used to do. And it didn't end up working too well, as we'll see. But anyways, so let's say before we run, in preparation to use OpenCount, let's say we collect something called a blank ballot from every ballot style. And so a blank ballot is just it's an unmarked ballot. So for instance, in this toy example, let's say there's only two possible ballot styles. What I would do is I would go to the back room and find like two unmarked ballots, and then I would say that these are my blank ballots of the election. So then what I could do is with these blank ballots, I can first just annotate both of the blank ballots with information such as voting targets and contests. And then when I go to actually interpret a voted ballot, I can simply just match the voted ballot up with the correct style and I can automatically apply what I know about that particular style, and it makes interpreting these ballots easier. And then, for instance, for a second voted ballot, I can simply just match it up and sort of apply what I know. And so again, this is actually what our previous system did. So last year, EVT vote 2012 in Washington, we first introduced the open count system. And this was work done with Kai Wong, myself, Nicholas Carlini, Ivan Mocheshov, Daniel Nguyen, and David Wagner. And this required that you collect all blank ballots prior to usage. And so this actually was a huge problem. So it didn't scale. It simply didn't scale to large elections for two main reasons. The first main reason was, it turns out, collecting these blank ballots was a huge, huge pain. So as I said before, you have to actually physically, like manually find these blank ballots. And for elections with hundreds to thousands of ballot styles, that can get crazy and huge obstacle. And it actually, this requirement actually restricted a few counties actually chose not to participate in the audit program because this was just such a big hurdle. And secondly, overall, the system just took too much effort. Processing a large election took too much human effort. So yeah, bust, basically. So okay, we took a step back this year and said, well, let's try to address the biggest concern. Let's try to not require election officials to collect these blank ballots. So that's what we tried this year. And in order to do this, it's interesting to recognize that this is a harder problem, because when you go to interpret a voted ballot, you can't simply just match it up to a style that you know ahead of time. So now you have to somehow know how to find your voting targets and find the target locations, or the contest locations. So harder problem, but if we could do this, it would be a big win for processing elections. So from here on, I'll give a brief overview of the system itself, and we'll talk about how we address these challenges. And then we'll talk about our experiences actually running OpenCount on a few election data sets. In particular, we supported a few the California risk limiting audit pilot programs in a few other California counties. So any questions up till here? Okay. So onward we go. So the first step of the pipeline is you're going to want to scan your voted ballots. So this, you can use any commercial off-the-shelf scanner, nothing fancy required. And the second step is we want to still group the voted ballots by ballot style. So by ballot style, I mean the locations of all the contests and voting targets. So here, style 0 has 2 contests, and style 1 has 3 contests, and so on. And the reason why we want to actually group these ballots by style is that for several reasons, but the biggest being it makes annotation easier. So for instance, if I annotate one ballot from style 0, I've effectively annotated every single ballot from that style. So it just saves effort. And because the number of styles is typically much less than the number of ballots, it makes annotation feasible. And this was numbers I pulled from one of the elections we processed. So annotating 200 ballots is much easier than annotating 124,000. So because we don't have blank ballots, we have to do grouping in a slightly different way. So what we observed is that on most optical scan ballots, there's some barcode that's printed on these ballots. For instance, here's a Diebold ballot. And on the bottom of the ballot, you see that there's this 32-bit bit string. So as it turns out, these barcodes actually do encode information such as ballot style. So what our group did was we simply implemented vendor-specific barcodes, barcode decoders for all the major vendors, and we group on the barcode. And the barcode vendors we support currently are ESNS, Sequoia, Hart, and Diebold systems. And it's an extendable system, so for a new vendor, you can imagine implementing a new decoder. So as an illustration, here we have our ballots on the left. We can decode the ballots and then just group based on the barcode. Yes, and here's the decoders we currently have implemented. Okay. So the next step is we want to annotate each of the styles with information such as voting targets and contests. And again, we only have to annotate one ballot from every style. So basically, you want to go from the picture on the left to the picture on the right. So the first question is, how can we find these voting targets automatically? So we don't want to have the user sort of mark every single individual target. That would just take way too long. So the way we do this in OpenCount is through this sort of operator-assisted approach, where the user helps a computer to do some task. So in this instance, let's say the user first selects an instance of a voting target. And then what the OpenCount does is it does something called template matching, which is it's an image processing technique to find repeated instances of one image inside of a larger image. So it's just a grid search, and says search for that image. And after the template matching is done, OpenCount displays all the discovered voting targets overlaid in green right here. And then the operator is asked to verify all the matches. So as you can see, there's a bit of a problem. In this case, OpenCount actually didn't find all the voting targets. All the voter marks actually end up interfering with this sort of matching procedure. So we decided we want to get around this problem. So what we did was based on the following observation, that voters vote differently. In other words, if one voting target is filled in on one ballot, then it's likely that that same voting target is going to be empty on a different ballot of the same style. For instance, as an illustration, let's say we did the template matching on ballot A, and we find one set of targets. And then we did the same template matching on a different ballot B from the same style. Then, for instance, here on that bottom left contest, the Mitt Romney target is filled in, but is empty on ballot B. So then if we take the union of all the matches, in this case, we end up finding all the targets. So this ends up making the automated detection of voting targets much easier. And then the next step is we want to annotate all the contest information. So we want to go from an image representation of a contest to some text representation. And so what we don't want to do is we don't want to rely completely on OCR. So OCR, for those not familiar, it's short for optical character recognition, and it's an automated technique to extract text from images. And the reason why we don't want to rely on OCR is OCR does make mistakes. It's not perfect, so we don't want any errors on our text output. But on the other hand, manually labeling each contest takes forever. So the idea that we strove forward is, so the number of distinct contests in a particular election is actually quite small, a few hundred at most. In fact, most of the elections we processed, the number was more like in the 40s, 40 contests, which is very feasible to annotate manually. So with that in mind, it turns out all these contests are duplicated on many ballot styles. For instance, on a presidential primary election, you can imagine the president contest being on every single ballot style. So it's a bit hard to see here, sorry, but the contest overlaid in blue is the same contest on two different styles, and the user should only have to label this once. So we want to detect contest duplicates, and the simplest idea you can imagine is simply just do a visual comparison. You take two images and you compute some similarity metric between them and declare that two contests are the same if that metric is small enough. So for instance, as an illustration, we have two contests that happen to be the same. If we compute their difference and compute some metric, you can imagine defining some threshold where if it's the difference is small enough, you declare it's a match. And then here's an example where two different contests are compared, and the difference is higher, so we can declare that it's not a match. So it's sort of a straw man first approach. So unfortunately, it turns out this doesn't work. It turns out the contests that are the same contest can actually differ in visual appearance for a number of reasons. For instance, word spacing or different line wrapping. Here we have the same contest, but the line wrap is different. So then when you try to take the difference, the difference is really noisy around the contest title, so you get a higher difference metric, and this ends up complicating the process. So we can't go completely for a pixel difference-based approach. So instead, we decided to sort of meet in the middle. So OCR is not perfect, but it's good enough for what we want to do. So what our approach is we still extract the OCR text from both from contests, and there are errors, as you can see, they're red text, red letters are errors. But the OCR is accurate enough that if you compute the edit distance between the two, you can still compute a good metric that can tell when two contests are the same. And so this little trick to detecting contests reduces effort dramatically. And it really makes the annotation step much easier. Okay. So then the final main step of the OpenCAP pipeline is ballot interpretation. So the goal is we have to tell OpenCount which voting targets are filled and which are empty so that OpenCount can tabulate every single ballot. So the way we approach this is, it's operator guided, but we present to the user a grid of all the voting targets. But what we do is we sort the voting targets by average pixel intensity. Average pixel intensity simply meaning the darker target an image is, the higher the pixel intensity will be. So what happens is, due to the sorting criterion, all of the filled in targets will be near the top of the grid, and all the empty targets will be near the bottom of the grid. And then because it's overlaid in this grid fashion, the user can quickly and easily see if something's right or if something's wrong, and the user has to define the separating line that separates voting filled in targets from empty targets. And this is a bit of an ideal picture. It's usually not this clean. You can imagine scrolling down a bit, you can see these faint marks. It's up to the user to spot these and to flag these as being, in fact, filled in. And on the flip side, you can imagine hesitation marks being above the line, and you have to manually flag those. But for ambiguous cases, OpenCAP provides a way to look at the context and tell whether or not a target is filled in or not. And then there are a variety of additional views you can do in this mode, where you can just look at targets from look at only overvotes or look at undervotes and all that stuff. So once OpenCount has this idea of which voting targets are filled and empty, finally OpenCount can generate the CVRs. It can interpret every single voted ballot. And then finally, you can perform your audit. Okay, so as I said before, OpenCount has been used to actually support several risk-limiting pilot audits in a couple of California counties listed right there. Those were the list of successful completed audits. And for all these audits, every time a paper ballot was examined, OpenCount's results always matched the paper ballot perfectly. In other words, there were no mistakes found during the auditing process, which is a huge win. So then what we wanted to do next was we wanted to actually see how feasible it is to use OpenCount to process election data sets. So what we did was we took the current version of OpenCount and we processed a few election data sets that were given to us from election officials, and we timed how long it took. So here are a subset of the smaller elections we processed, election sizes going from a few thousand ballots to 35,000 ballots. And what's interesting to note is, the absolute time to process these data sets is, I'd argue, is pretty reasonable. So you can do this in the largest election, which is Yolo County, you can do this in 3 hours, which is an afternoon of work. And then what we wanted to do next is say, okay, let's compare how much better the improvements to the current system OpenCount are with respect to last year's version. In other words, how much better is this year's version versus last year's version? So to measure that, to get an estimate of that, we processed these data sets with both the new version and the old version, and we compared what the difference was. And I'll let you stare at this for a few seconds. So across the board, the new version is faster than the old version. But I want to draw attention to the bottom row. So the bottom row, the largest, most complex selection out of here, the new version can process the election 16 times faster. And you might argue why there's such a big disparity between the speedups. And the simple explanation is the improvements we made to the current system really only kick in for complex elections, for elections with many ballot styles. So for the elections above, they're small enough and simple enough that you don't really need the improvements. They don't really make much of a difference. But as soon as you start processing non-trivial data sets, then you really need these improvements. So that's a big win right there. So then we took the next step. We said, okay, these election data sets are still pretty small. Let's push OpenCount to the limit. Let's see let's process even larger data sets. So that's what we did next. So here's the four elections that are substantially much larger than the elections on the last slide. And so first thing to notice is the absolute times, are larger because the elections are larger. But I'd argue that, but they're still within reasonable limits. You can do these elections in 2 or 3 days. Orange County takes a little longer, but that's a bit larger. And then here I've plotted how long it takes for the operator to process these elections. So there's both human time and there's computation time, where you can just kind of leave the computer and let it run throughout the night. So here, I'd say the big takeaway is the previous version of OpenCount from last year didn't stand a chance at processing these elections. We actually tried applying our last version to these election data sets, and we couldn't do it. Last version just wasn't good enough. So what these new improvements we implemented this year let us do is process much larger, much more complex elections. And that's the big takeaway here. That's the big one. Okay. So in conclusion, so this year we've presented improvements to the OpenCount system. The big two improvements are, first, we've removed the requirement to collect blank ballots. So that should remove a huge burden to using the software. And second, we've reduced the operator effort significantly, allowing us to process more complex and larger elections. We believe OpenCount is now ready for election officials to use, rather than just being us to use. Oops. And in fact, OpenCount has already been used in several risk-limiting audits. And these audits were made possible by OpenCount. Okay, thanks. I'll take any questions.
Ron Revest. What's the biggest component of the time taken still? Is it OCR or is it something else?
I'd say it's probably dominated by computation time. So if we go back to the table here, let's look at the Orange County, the largest one. So human time takes about a day and 8 hours, but total it takes almost 4 days. So we got 2 days of just computation.
Which part of the computation is the
hardest? And the hardest part of the computation is currently this step, where we extract all the voting targets from every single voted ballot. So for that, you have to do some image processing on every single voted ballot. And our current implementation means that it takes, I think for Orange County, it took 20 hours of computation time to do this step, to go from voted ballots to this grid. But this is sort of research code. You can imagine speeding this up quite a bit. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
There was a lot of discussion last week about a vulnerability that someone in Germany found in photocopiers, that it transitioned images from one form to another. I know certain Xerox printers, although it's not clear whether it exists as well in other printers. I'm wondering whether that same technology, and it was an artifact of the compression algorithm that they used, and I'm wondering whether that same issue would appear here and might cause some of the colored boxes, exactly the slide that you're showing right here, whether it might cause boxes to be transformed in ways so that they don't actually match what the voter had marked, or are you immune from that because you're not doing any compression, for example?
No, that's a great point. So you're sort of saying that like the scanning process loses information?
Right, and the specifics of the scanning process in these Xerox printers, it looked at images and it tried to match them to things it had seen elsewhere on the paper, with the effect that it could change sixes to eights to nines and vice and all sorts of variations on that, and ones to fours and sevens. And so things, when you thought you had made a photocopy, you actually hadn't made a photocopy under certain circumstances because it had transitioned it.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm just wondering whether that same sort of scan problem could occur here because of compression artifacts.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have much to say about that sounds like almost malicious tampering of images during the scanning process.
No, it was accidental.
Accidental.
It was an optimization, at least appears to be accidental. It was an optimization that just turned out to be wrong.
I see. So then I guess I have two parts to that, two answers. So first is, when you're scanning the ballots, I guess you should be careful about making sure the settings are such that it's not doing these optimizations. but second, so we actually did see several scanning artifacts in our data set. So the biggest, the most sort of, let's look at a ballot. So one interesting observation was for the heart ballots that we got, they were pre-thresholded, binarized. So basically, instead of giving us a pure grayscale image, they gave us a thresholded image, which ends up throwing away a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And this is bad when you're trying to interpret voting targets, because faint marks will become even fainter. For instance, mm-hmm. here, this is actually filled in, but the thresholding just kind of removed much of the ink.
Mm, okay.
So it becomes much harder. And
yeah, that's a variation on the same problem.
Right, right.
Interesting.
I can elaborate a little on that. So one other comment I'd make is, remember, open count is not intended as the final answer. This is an input to the auditing stage. Mm-hmm. So what the consequence will be is, if your scanner is giving you bad images, open count might give you a wrong interpretation, but then during the audit stage, your audit will fail, right? You'll discover this during the audit. So that's bad. You don't want to go through an audit process and have it fail unnecessarily, but it's not like this will cause an undetected, there's a possibility of this to cause an undetected error, because the audit involves pulling the paper ballot and physically looking at the paper ballot. So that's the first comment. The second comment, I looked at this particular issue with the scanners and it just blew my mind, like, oh my gosh, the compression algorithm changes six to nines.
Incidentally, I replicated it on our copier in the office next to mine, and it's very clear.
We didn't see any of this. It's possible that we got lucky, because one of the things that we told the counties, we gave them advice on how to scan the ballots, and one of the pieces of advice we gave was, please use lossless compression or no compression at all to minimize the effect of compression, JPEG compression artifacts, or other compression artifacts. So we didn't run into this, and a potential workaround could be to use lossless compression.
Yeah, I wonder if you could, just a little bit further in that, tell us what kinds of scanners were used and, you know, exactly how you did that. And my second question is, I didn't really follow it. Why was there a difference in speed up factors between different places? I didn't really understand that. Maybe that's easier to answer first. You know, why is it like Napa only speed up 2.8 and YOLO speeded up 16? I realize it's bigger, but I don't see why does that mean the speed up is faster?
So your question is why is there such a substantial difference between the two?
Yeah, between the speed up factors.
Uh-huh. So the main reason here is if you look at the complexity of the election, and let's use ballot style as the proxy for the complexity. So YOLO has 600 ballot styles, but Napa only has 11.
Okay.
So it turns out that the improvements that we made to the system this year really helps you when the number of ballot styles is large. So when the number of ballot styles is really small, such as only 11, the improvements is basically not doing much for you.
Okay, I get it. Okay, and then could you maybe expand a little bit on the scanning, because I think that, you know, that you and David were talking about that. What did you specify the kinds of scanners, or how did that work?
Okay, so unfortunately, so I don't know exactly what scanners were used. So what the process was the election officials scanned the ballots on their own machines, on their own commercial machines, and then they sent the ballots to us. So so the scanning process isn't sort of integral to the open count system. We don't have, for instance, like a set of recommended scanners to use.
But they were scanned to pictures like JPEG or something?
Exactly.
As opposed to PDF?
The California Secretary of State's office sort of coordinated and gave advice to the counties on how to do the scanning. And our advice to them was, since we didn't know exactly what the minimum parameters were, we knew what a safe set of parameters were, pick a scanner that could do 300 dpi, 8-bit grayscale, lossless compression, or no compression. And then the counties TIFF, which many scanners support, turns out it's actually not one format. There's several different TIFF formats, and some of those use lossy compression and some use lossless compression. And working out which you have is non-trivial for a non-technical user. So in some cases, we provided some advice and helped them work out how to do that. Now, it's possible that actually if we did a little more testing, that 300 dpi, 8-bit grayscale might not have been necessary. It might have been able to scan with a lower resolution. That might have made the scanning process run faster. Pilot programs, we didn't want to scan all the ballots, send them to us for processing, and then discover a week later that the resolution wasn't adequate. We took, sort of this safe side, high resolution, high quality scans. It's possible you might be able to get by with lower quality.
Okay, that's very good. I think, I don't know if it's in the paper, but you should describe that process somewhere. I think that's important.